Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. The Electronic Cottage corporate limo finally gave up the ghost after 12 years and over 250,000 miles, and was replaced by another, only 7 years old, with only 120,000 miles. This newer version has one of those smart keys that have buttons right on the key for locking and unlocking the doors. Those keys have to be handled carefully, or when you grip the key to turn on the ignition, the trunk may fly open. Someone recently asked why, since this swell new key can open or lock the door of the car from a distance, we always put the key into the lock rather than use the fancy wireless lock or unlock function from a distance. The answer is easy. We want the car to be there when we come back. You may recall that on a past program, we noted that some clever car thieves in England rounded up a few $100s worth of off-the-shelf components and made a gizmo that can intercept the wireless signals that car keys send to cars to lock or unlock them. The thieves are particularly fond of the types of signals that not only unlock the car, but can start the engine so the car warms up on a cold morning, or the type of cars that only have start buttons rather than ignition keys inside once you get into the car. So these particular lads, we assume they're lads, though to the best of our knowledge they haven't been caught yet, simply take themselves to a parking lot, or a car park as they're known over there, and wait for someone to pull in a desirable car, exit the car, and while walking away, hit the lock button on their key, and then head off about their business. The thieves, meanwhile, have intercepted that wireless signal, and once the owner is gone, they simply resend the signal to the car, the doors unlock, and maybe the engine even starts, and one of the thieves gets in and drives the car away. No broken windows, no hot wiring, no muss, no fuss, no bother for the thieves. If witnesses see anything at all, they simply see a regular person open the door, get in the car, and head out to the parking lot. Personally, we still prefer to use the key as a key. Now, is it likely that someone's going to stake out the Rennie's lot and wait for a 7-year-old car and try to intercept the wireless transmission from the key to the car lock? No, it's not likely at all. But it is possible. And in the past year, it's also been shown to be possible, as regular listeners may recall, to wirelessly take over and program things like insulin pumps or pacemakers that keep human beings alive. The signals from smart ID cards that people use to get into their workplaces have also been intercepted, giving the interceptor carte blanche to enter the premises at any time of day or night. Subway cards in several major cities have also been hacked in this way. We've also reviewed how smartphone microphones or cameras can be turned on without the owner's knowledge, creating a wonderful surveillance tool for anyone from the FBI to stalkers. And of course, we've all heard plenty about the wireless transmissions from the so-called smart meters that most people in Maine will find on their homes, if they haven't already. But probably the biggest overall concern about wireless security involves cars simply because automobiles are becoming, more and more, computers on wheels. These days, a new car can have between 50 and 70 microprocessor chips controlling things ranging from applying the brakes to listening to the music system. There have already been examples of accessing the computers in a car using Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, or even OnStar wireless connections. Researchers have, mercifully only on test tracks to date, at least as far as we know, taken control of a car's brakes and either slammed them on or caused them to fail, have locked the power steering in a moving car, have even overridden the driver's control of the door locks so that those in the car couldn't even open the door and roll out if the brakeless car was headed off a cliff. This sort of access does not have to happen only one car at a time either. Regular listeners may also recall the case of the disgruntled employee at a car dealership in Texas. That dealership installed equipment on cars they sold so that the engine could be disabled if the buyer didn't keep up with the payments. The recently fired employee snuck in at night and disabled over 100 cars at one time and made their horns blare without stopping just to add insult to injury. And it's not just repo guys that can disable car engines. Anyone who has a new GM car with OnStar installed can have their car stopped remotely if police think it's stolen. And while that may seem like a good thing today, there's no technical reason why the police couldn't simply ask that a car be disabled if it just goes through a red light. Though that hasn't happened yet, at least as far as we know. All of these assaults on cars' computer-controlled systems are possible because there are so many wireless signals moving within the car and between the car and outside transmitters. Transmitters ranging from OnStar services to satellite radio to the smart keys in many listeners' pockets right now. The potential for bad things happening to automobiles has gotten so great that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has acknowledged the potential for disaster and is encouraging car manufacturers to do more to secure the systems in their cars. And, in an indication of the seriousness of the potential problem, has asked the National Academy of Sciences to look into the situation and try to come up with ways to prevent big problems down the road. On the road. Wireless devices sure are convenient, from slick smartphones and tablets to Bluetooth headsets to smart keys that open your car doors and start the engine while you're still in the house warm and toasty. It's becoming a wireless world, no doubt about that. What still is in doubt is what the unintended consequences of this wireless environment may turn out to be. We'll do our best to follow developments in our increasingly electronic world, whether wireless or wired, right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.